So is taxing the rich the way forward? The Labour Party is pledging no income tax increases for anyone under £80,000, whereas the Lib Dems are wanting a general 1p income tax increase to boost health service funding. And then the Tories, well, they have pledged not to increase VAT, but have not ruled out other tax rises. But are tax rises the way forward? And are you prepared to pay more to finance public services? Political economist Richard Murphy is on the line, as is businessman Erwin Armstrong. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Betty. Good morning, Richard.
Richard, one of the questions, I guess, is what do we really count as rich? Is £80,000 a lot of money?
Well, yes, it is. And I'll say that, and I'll also put it on record. I earn just over £80,000 a year as a university professor. You can Google that, so it's not hard to find out. But is that a lot of money? It puts me in the top 5% of earners in Northern Ireland. That actually would put me in more than the top 5%, or fewer, if you like, because the 5% is spread across the whole UK, and of course, earnings in Northern Ireland are lower than on average. So, yeah, you're very definitely right at the top of the pile if you earn more than 80,000. But let's be honest, that's income. And of course, rich is wealth. And there's also a problem with wealth. And at the moment, John McDonnell hasn't talked about that.
So should people that are earning, let's use this amount today, £80,000 or more, should they be paying a little bit more to help finance? We're always hearing about the economy in terms of education and health in particular and how that is struggling. So should we be counteracting that by targeting people over that figure?
Well, let's again look at the whole picture. Because if we look right across the spectrum of all taxes, VAT, national insurance, and even the ability of people to use corporation tax and so on, as well as income tax, then in fact, those who are earning more than 80,000 probably pay less overall tax as a percentage of their income than those on 40 to 50,000. And actually, they pay less in tax as a part of their income than those who are in the bottom 10% of all income earners, who have the highest overall tax rate in proportion to their income. So we do not have a tax system that at present penalises anybody on a high income at all. Because in fact, we have an almost flat tax system most of the way across the board. Most people pay between 33 and 36% of their income in tax, and that's true of the very high earners as well. And therefore, to ask them to pay a bit more when they, on average, pay slightly less than normal now is entirely fair.
That's fair. Would you be happy to do that yourself, Richard?
Look, if John McDonnell puts up 5% on the tax over 80,000, yes, I think that would be entirely appropriate. I can't see the argument on that.
Erwin?
Well, I think Richard let the cat out of the bag when he used the word penalise, because that's what this is about. It is the politics of envy. We will soak the rich, or the so-called rich, because 80,000 is by no means rich. It's a very comfortable income. So the best off in our society, the top 5% that Richard mentioned, already pay, I think it's probably close to 40% of all the income tax anyway. So the inequality that he is talking about is they're already paying a lot more than the rest of society.
They're not. I've just told you, they're not. That's not
your percentages. You're talking about percentages all the time. Percentages allows you to cover all sorts of things. I'm talking in the real world, real money. They are paying a lot more at the higher level than they pay at the lower level. I'm not interested in percentages. I'm not interested in your percentages. They pay a lot more tax. Real tax. But the whole concept of taxation is one that we really need to think about. We have now, regardless of whether it's Conservatives or Lib Dem or Labour or whichever party it is, entered what is a nanny state, where the government wants to poke its nose and run everything. That, in my mind, is...
Is that not part of the purpose, part of the reason they're there, Erwin, to be fair, especially when it comes to things... like tax. Some people will say that at some point, given the strain that our services are under, we will have to find the money from somewhere. Aging population, people are living longer, and obviously they then have further health issues, and therefore we have to try and find that from somewhere. So do we look at the people that are on the lower scale, at the average salary in Northern Ireland, just under 22 grand, although you say 80 is not that much really. So who do we target? People on 22 or people on 80?
No, Vinny, you're misunderstanding what I was saying. What I said was the government, is all the governments, doesn't matter which hue they're of nowadays, are the nanny state, where they want to take money from people and spend it on things which should be no concern of the government whatsoever.
Can we ask a real question here? Look, let's jump in. You don't want the government to spend. First of all, can I make it clear that a party has said that in the UK? It was UKIP. They wanted to privatise the NHS, and we've just seen their vote collapse. People
but
are.
Sir, you interrupted me. You interrupted me when I was about to move on.
But that's what they actually
are. Are essential services that do need to be protected, and that's health, it's education, it's those sorts of things.
One at a time. Richard, you go ahead. Erwin, I'll bring you back in a moment.
Sure. Let's talk about the reality. If we talk about education and health and defence and the police and all those things, they make up about 97% of all the government spending. Let's put interest aside at the moment, because without interest paid, by the way, there would be no private pensions. So let's take those out of consideration as well. And what are you going to cut? Every party that has ever said it's going to come into government and cut spending has never found the cut.
Well, Erwin, what do you respond to that?
They aren't possible.
In terms of that government function or that area that they make the saving that they can then plow into the health service in this example, you know, where would you take that money from? What service would you cut?
Well, let me give you one very simple example. You know, I'm sure most of the listeners have been in Southern Ireland and other countries where they actually have to pay toll charges for motorways. The UK, and certainly Northern Ireland, has totally gone away from having that. Is there any reason why people who use the road shouldn't actually pay for them?
We pay a road tax.
Nothing whatsoever to do with roads. It's just another tax. It doesn't go into road building. So we can forget that idea, Richard, completely.
More efficient to collect a single tax a year than tolls. That's why. But we do
tolls allow you to privatise and don't use government money. Give it to the private sector. Let them build the roads. Let them charge the tolls.
Can we just intervene again? It's been done once. It was the M6 toll road, and it hasn't worked terribly well because it's never been copied.
Well, there's one example then. One example, Erwin, is how you would kind of try and claw some money to put into the NHS. So we look at the NHS. It was created in 1948 when the life expectancy for men was 65.8 and women was 70.1. That now in 2017 is 78 for men and 82 for women. So it's jumped 65 to 78 and 70 to 82. And in those added years, if you look at the hospital beds, acute hospital beds, for example, two-thirds are currently occupied by people over 50. So you could look at it that way, Erwin, and say this problem is going to get worse.
There will have to be some,
because at the minute we are constantly being contacted by people referring to waiting lists and issues that they have with the health service. So now in 2017, it is struggling. So as we all get older, we all continue to have poor health when we are older, then that money has to come from somewhere.
Yeah, but the point, Vinny, and I don't really want to get into a detailed debate on the health service. In Northern Ireland, approximately 25% of the beds are bed-blocked at any time by older people with nowhere to go.
But you could counter that, Erwin, by saying then we need money for the social care package so those people can get out, so therefore there's still a money issue.
No, but that is the very point, Vinny. The cost of keeping somebody in a very, very expensive hospital bed compared to keeping somebody in a social care bed is probably about 75%. Our government has not allowed enough money to be going into social care, whether in the private or the public sector. I mean, everybody recognises we have wonderful clinicians in the health service. However, we have woeful management. It is totally inefficient how things are run, how we utilise the assets we currently have.
Okay. The NHS who are listening to this programme, it's a complete insult to them. The constraint is the fact that we have a government who is dedicated to cutting spending when we actually have people who could be put to work, do a great job for the people of Northern Ireland, if only the government would spend enough to make sure there was social care.
Okay.
There are people who want those jobs, and they could do those jobs, and Northern Ireland would be better off if they did it, and there'd be more tax paid, and there'd be
Richard, in this case, if you had listened to what I said, I actually agreed
it was not
managed it properly.
Okay.
You would have lower cost beds and employ more people, and at the same time,
more money.
25%.
Okay, okay. Let's go back to that other issue in terms of, are people willing, would you, listening this morning, be willing to pay more tax if then, as a result, the waiting times came down, services improved, maybe the roads improved, health is, I think, what we put as our top priority, maybe education, etc., for schools. Let's take your calls on this. 030 30 80 55 55. Brian, go ahead.
Erwin was saying there about how it's wrong to add 5% tax to the people earning over £80,000 a year. Firstly, people earning over £80,000 a year in Northern Ireland are nearly four times the national average. So instead of charging 5% extra tax to over £80,000, as Erwin has said, don't do it, is it better that the government just takes 30 quid a week from disabled pensioners or disabled people, full stop? That'll save the 5% tax on the high earners. Disabled people and unemployed people aren't even on 50% of the minimum wage.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, would you be willing to pay more tax if it helped with services?
Of course, we're supposed to live in a caring society. The whole system of a caring society and a welfare state is that when we can pay in, we pay in. We don't use the services if we don't need them. But come the day we do need them, then the services are there for everybody.
Do you fall into that £80,000 or more bracket?
No, I'm semi-retired.
And with that in mind, you would still be willing to pay more?
Yeah.
How much more?
Whatever it takes.
And do you think...
One of the easiest things to do is bring back paying for prescriptions.
Do you think that people, that there should be a threshold? And we mentioned £80,000 just in relation to what Labour have been saying, but do you think everyone should pay more, regardless of your salary?
Well, in all honesty, yeah, I do think that everybody should be paying a rising percentage compared to their income. So anybody earning up to £30,000 a year, 1%. Anybody working up to £50,000 a year, 2%. £80,000 a year, 5%. £140,000, £150,000 a year, an extra 10%.
So you think, Brian, that Jeremy Corbyn, his proposal doesn't go far enough, basically?
No, I think he's trying to hit the middle ground because he's fighting on the basis of the little Englander. And Erwin is a wannabe little Englander. It probably has a subscription to the Daily Mail every day. You know,
okay,
this society is going the wrong direction.
Well, Erwin, you'll want to respond to that. Erwin, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I don't have a subscription to the Daily Mail. It's free online, as it should be.
There you go. You still read it. But down economics does not work.
Yeah,
Minnesota and America has proven it, and as California has proven it as well.
Yeah, but California's bankrupt, so I don't think it's proved very much.
California is not bankrupt. California is actually in the black.
No, California.
Because of the turnaround on the trickle-down economics. Minnesota is in the black because of the turnaround in trickle-down economics. The Democrat governor of Minnesota in his first year has created 160,000, 4,000 jobs. Whereas the previous 10 years, the Republican and trickle-down economics, he had 1,600.
Let's try and stay on topic in Northern Ireland.
To go back to where we started on tax, the point about tax is it is what the government takes from people and spends. It doesn't matter what you as an individual want. It doesn't matter what I want. The government decides what the money gets spent on. And they spend lots of money on things which I totally disagree with.
Richard, you want back in there? Go ahead.
This is nonsense that this isn't what people want. We have a vote on June the 8th, and we can exercise that vote. And if there were candidates who wanted to slash tax, who put up that manifesto, you could vote for them, Erwin. But the fact is that people don't put up that manifesto, and for very good reason, because people...
Richard, you've been around politics for long enough. People
I've been around for plenty long enough, and I know that's true. We live in a democracy.
Richard,
you live in a fantasy.
Okay, one at a time. So, Erwin, go ahead.
Richard, you know as well as I do that people do not vote in single issues. They don't vote Conservatives because of tax. They don't vote Labour because of putting up tax. They vote across a whole range of policies in a document that's 80 pages.
Okay, Richard, go ahead.
Everything.
If we look right across the board, the amount of spending difference between what the Conservatives are going to propose and actually what Labour is going to propose will not be that big. No, you might be talking about 1 to 2% of national GDP. In other words, what you want, Erwin, which is the state to walk away, is not going to be on the agenda from anyone except perhaps UKIP, and that's because people don't.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Michael in Limavady, go ahead, Michael.
Hello, very
good morning.
I would listen to the debate, and I would be interested in those two gentlemen's take on the Bernie Sanders theory approach, which is so unfortunately didn't get a chance to think about. Forgive me, 80 grand. The seriously rich people at the top. America's a very rich country. There's an awful lot of poverty. And if you could just shave a wee bit off the top 10% or even the top 5% that have got all those billions, take it like 5 cents on the dollar, you transform the whole country.
What about here? Let's talk about here. Do you think we should do that in Northern Ireland?
Well, I mean, every time you pick up a paper, you see there's a few extra billionaires living here and there.
Really?
Well, you do hear those stories. I don't know how much.
I don't think Northern Ireland has that many billionaires, but you would target the mega rich then.
They're sitting on money that has not ever been used for anything, and they just seem to be.
But does that then, Michael? Does that then target people? Let's assume that they've worked very hard. They've maybe gone over and above to become a high earner. They've maybe done a lot of extra study, or whatever way they've managed to progress through their pay scale. And therefore, if we then say, well, if you work really, really hard and you manage to get to this level, where they then going to target you with more tax?
There's a certain level, you know, and there's some people who are smart enough to accumulate fantastic amounts of wealth. But, I mean, what are they doing with it, apart from really nothing, buying yachts and stuff? There's assets and money there.
But that not discourage them, Michael, in terms of making people or incentivizing them to work hard to get to that level?
You're not going to take, if you take 5 cents off the dollar, you're not going to make these people poor.
Why are you talking about dollars? Let's talk about pounds.
I know, but it's just the Bernie Sanders approach that he revealed that there's an awful lot of wealth sitting doing nothing. Or it's okay, take 5 pence off the pound if you want to put it that way.
Okay, Michael, stay there for a minute. I want to play a clip to you. This is a tax policy expert, Paul Johnson. This is what he had to say when asked about Labour's tax proposals on the BBC News Channel.
Well, I think it's all about reassuring most people that they're not going to be paying tax. And I think it's part of this rather, I think, not entirely honest conversation that politicians want to have with the electorate, which is to say someone else will pay for the public service, whether that someone else is the rich or companies or what have you. I think it's rather important to remember, first of all, that those earning more than £80,000 a year already pay a very, very high fraction of all taxes. And actually, despite, I think, what perhaps people think, they've seen some really pretty big increases in tax over the last seven or 8 years. And you can't get that much more by putting a few p on income tax for the highest earners if you really want to raise significant amounts of money to support public services. I'm afraid it can't just be other people who pay. It has to be all of us.
What we haven't heard so far anyway, maybe it'll be in these famous manifestos we have got to look forward to, but we haven't heard about tackling big companies that avoid their tax, overseas companies, some of the multinationals. That presumably would be a way, if politicians could do it, get round all the other problems. That could be big earning, couldn't it?
Well, if you remember back to 2015, all of the parties were suggesting that they could raise significant sums from clamping down on tax avoidance. Actually, I think this is another not entirely honest way of dealing with the electorate. There isn't a huge pot of gold out there waiting to be collected. It's not the case that chancellors over the last few years have seen money there and can't be bothered to go and pick it up. So, yes, there might be a little bit of money you can get there by changing some of the rules, and quite a lot of those rules have been changed already. But no, there's not a pot of gold to be got from corporate tax avoidance, I'm afraid.
OK, let's go back to this £80,000 figure that Labour talk about, above which people would have to pay a bit more. Let's making some assumptions here now, but if they were to put, say, one penny on their income tax rates, have you any idea sort of what sort of sums of money might be raised? Would it be many billions, or could you give a figure at all?
Oh, no, nothing like that. Less than a billion. I mean, not enough to make a significant difference to the public finances. You have to raise it by several pence to get into, you know, even a couple of billion.
There you go, Richard Murphy. Do you agree with Paul Johnson?
I don't agree with him entirely on the amount of money that could be collected from tax evasion. He may be right on tax avoidance. Let's come back, though, to what we can raise money from. We need a wealth tax. The caller, I think it was Michael just now, is absolutely right. There is a problem with unused wealth, and nobody, absolutely nobody, gets wealthy on the basis of their own efforts. They get wealthy on the back of the state, which has trained the people who work for them.
Fuck nonsense. Are you serious?
I'm absolutely serious. And I have
nobody gets wealthy on their own efforts. So if you just sit back, sit in your backside, you'll be as well off as if you just
worked. Look, stop distorting what I just said. Of course you have to try to make a business. I've created quite a number. I know what it's like. But you
through your efforts.
Serious, yes. Seriously wealthy, it does not happen on your own. It happens because the state provides you with the infrastructure, the trained people.
Okay, well, what about, let's say, for example, Bill Gates. I know we're going back to America now, but I just think you're contradicting yourself a little bit here, Richard.
No, I'm not in the slightest. Bill Gates did not, first of all, make his business on his own efforts. A lot of Microsoft DOS, MS-DOS, which was the basis of the whole thing, was actually written by IBM in the first place. If we look at Steve Jobs, 90% of the technology inside Apple came from the U.S. government who funded the research. Nobody gets rich by themselves. This is a myth. People always stand on the shoulders of others, and at the bottom of that pile are the vast numbers of us who are well-trained at the cost of the state and who are healthy at cost of the state and so on. Nobody is rich either without the state protecting their wealth. So wealth tax is absolutely fundamental, and yes, we do need to increase tax on capital gains because that's absolutely fair. They should be the same as income taxes. There's no reason why not. So there are plenty of things that can be done to increase revenues, which
okay.
We haven't discussed.
I think
this, that this is going to also put people
okay.
off is nonsense.
Erwin,
nobody is put
Erwin, would you, like do you think you could afford to pay more tax? There's a tweet here that's come in to say that we've got two high earners on to talk about tax on high earners. So I guess there is a bit of irony there. But Erwin,
the point is not could I afford to pay more tax?
But you technically are a high earner.
Probably I could afford to pay more tax.
What I'm saying is
if I was satisfied that the governments that we elect were using it efficiently in the first place, do we need Trident? There's a big question. Should we be spending all our money buying the nuclear deterrent, as it's now called? Those are the sorts of questions that it doesn't seem very many of the parties are willing to address in any meaningful way. So the question is all about where does
okay.
the government spend its money?
I want to go back to Michael in the Mavati. Michael, are you still there?
I'm still here, yeah.
Could you put a figure on how much, say, for example, per week you would be willing to give up from your salary? We talk about percentages, but when it comes down to it, really, you get your weekly or monthly salary, and you know what you have, what goes out, what is left over.
You're talking about wrong, man. You can't take feathers off a frog, I'm sorry. But I'm talking about the serious accumulated wealth.
I know, but I'm asking you as a person that maybe a lot of people will say, I can't afford it.
Yes, if I can afford it, I go, well, yes. But, you know, that's the question. Not everybody's got the same,
yeah.
The same boat with wealth. But I just wonder, of all the money, did give Bill Gates some credit? I mean, at some point he got morally, and he put his money back into society. And the lady from the body shop done exactly the same. They had fantastic wealth, and then they turned around and threw it back into the pot.
Okay.
I don't know about the 85 grand bracket, but there's some seriously wealthy people that don't do anything with that money.
Okay, Michael. Michael, thank you. Sean and Enniskillen, go ahead, Sean.
I think Labour have got it wrong again.
Why? I think
rather than talk about taxing people who are earning over 80, they should be looking at creating more employment. They should be putting more people into work and creating a bigger tax.
Well, with your experience, and I have no idea what your experience is, Sean, off the NHS, are you happy with how things are at the minute?
Reasonably happy with general healthcare. However, I must say that since the privatisation of elderly care and mentally disadvantaged people, there has been a lot of demand. And the demand has not actually come from the patients themselves. It has come from the people who have the owners of the homes, who the more they get, the more people they look after, the more money they rake in.
Would you want or would you be willing to hand over more money to try and counteract that? Or do you think that's something that should be done by Stormont?
It should be done by Stormont. In fact, actually, in Fermanagh, not that many years ago, there were three elderly homes. They're now in the region of 15, between 15 and 20. Now, people would say that's demand-driven and driven by society. Of course, partially, it is partially.
Well, age and population, we were talking about this earlier, Sean. Sean, thank you. Norman and Bangor, go ahead, Norman.
Morning, Vanai.
How are you? Vanai. Now, you be careful, because the last time you came on the radio to talk to me, you got me in trouble. So I don't want to hear about your shenanigans in Nashville.
No. Vanai. Vanai, how can you justify cutting corporation tax in one hand and then talking about taxing the rich? The rich don't pay their full amount of taxes. They tax the rich. All they do is hand it to the accountant. The accountant will find the loopholes. It's the working class people that keep this society going. That's who pay their taxes, because they can't afford accountants. But to fix the health service, well, cut out the agency nurses and doctors, cut out the big bonuses to consultants, cut out the millions that's handed to the private sector to carry out National Health Service work. That's where the problem is.
Well, Norman, do you think people should pay more? That's one of the key things we're talking about this morning, to try and...
It's
age and population. I go back to it, you know, when NHS was created in 1948. Men lived to 65, they're now 78. Women lived to 70, now 82. If you go down here and you look at the average cost of treating someone between 55 and 59... this is from the Bengal report, by the way. It's just under two grand per head. This then rises to $6,000 between 75 and 79-year-old. And then $14,000 for people over 85. So it's the aging population we keep going back to. We're all going to, hopefully, if we make it into that part of life, you know, it's going to be very expensive to treat you. We're all getting older. We're living longer. More money. Where are we getting it from, Norman?
I'll tell you where you get it from. You cut out trading. There's billions saved. You cut out the foreign aid that billions has been squandered. It's not feeding the poor in Africa and elsewhere. It's going to dictators who are buying big planes and space stations.
Okay.
That's where the waste
slight,
give it to the health
A bit of a sweeping generalisation there, Norman, but thank you. Damien and Derry, go ahead, Damien.
How are you doing, Vinny?
Not bad.
Vinny, I wanted just to get you with the clip you played there of the... so-called tax expert Paul Johnson,
yes,
saying that there's not a pot of gold out there for any chancellor to go after in terms of tax avoidance. Estimates from a number of sources, and these are conservative estimates, reckon that there's 15 trillion at least sitting in tax havens worldwide. That's a hell of a pot.
Richard
the
Murphy,
UK alone.
One second, Damien. I want to see what Richard thinks of
tax
that.
Tax avoidance,
Richard.
In the UK to be costing the revenue an excess of $114 billion.
Richard, should we be going after that type of money? Should that be where the cash is coming from?
Yes, of course it should be.
Is it doable?
It's entirely possible, and I've been involved with the international negotiations to try and get hold of this money. We don't know how much will be collected, but I'll tell you why we won't get it and why Paul Johnson is entirely wrong. The reason why we won't get it is that, for example, from this year, places like the Cayman Islands have to tell HM Revenue and Customs which British people have got accounts there. But there's going to be no staff employed to use the information, so we're not going to collect the money. Now, that's the government's choice to not collect the tax that he's owing, and you can blame the government for that, because that's their fault. They don't want the money because they don't want to spend it on the NHS because they want to privatise it.
Damien?
Richards, he's nailed it. That's exactly it. The government don't want to go after it.
Okay. Damien and Derry, thank you very much. Richard Murphy and Erwin Armstrong, thank you.